Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Garda recruitment numbers for this year are down. They had a target of about 1,000. Numbers are looking more like somewhere between 600 to 650. That's according to figures released from the Justice Minister to the Sinn Féin party. So what would make joining the Guards a more attractive proposition? The Assistant General Secretary of the Garda Representative Association, Tara McManus, is with me on the line. What do you think would make the job more appealing, Tara?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Well, look, there's a number of things that we feel would help to address this particular recruitment and retention issue, because we believe it's not just Garda recruitment that needs to be looked at. It's also the retention of the members that we currently have. Just prior to the election last winter, we submitted a plan which we felt would help to address this. Now, the first part of that was to increase the training allowance that Gardaí trainees receive down the Garda College. They're currently receiving about 350 a week. When you actually break that across the week, it's way less than the minimum wage. And anybody who's that little bit older, perhaps, who's leaving another full-time career, because obviously we know the age limit has been increased to 50, that's certainly not going to entice them. So we would be looking at doubling that and bringing it up to an actual livable wage of in and around 35,000. We would also look
for a training role, Tara.
Well, look, Andrea, if you want to get in the best calibre of people, you have to pay them to do that particular role. You're asking people to walk away from careers that they already have. These people perhaps have mortgages, they have families. You're not going to get very far in 350 a week. And when you actually break it down, it's in and around €4 an hour. So, I mean, you wouldn't ask a 16-year-old to work for €4 an hour. So why should you ask somebody who's 40-odd years of age down in the Garda College, committing 9 months to a training regime, and asking them to do that type of work for €4 an hour? So that's why we would say that needs to be brought up to a livable wage at the first instance. From then we would look at the pay scale. So there's like so many pay scales within Garda Síochána, and it takes a very long time to move from the very first one up to the end one. We would suggest removing some of those pay scales so that members move to a higher pay scale, at a quicker time frame.
Well, the figures I'm looking at here, Tara, right? Over €37,000 is the average salary for a guard in Ireland, and after 8 years of service, that'll reach €57,900.
Well, that is to include probably a lot of overtime and probably allowances. So obviously Gardaí get paid allowances for working unsocial hours, for working Saturdays, for working Sundays, for working bank holidays. So that becomes part of their core pay, and deservedly so, because it's not everyone that has to work at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So that's where that comes from. But we would say that, you know, we need to lessen the amount of pay scales. We would also look at introducing a long service increment to people who stayed beyond 20 years, because this is the difficulty that we have. We have people leaving from 5 years to 10 years service, and that seems to be the most common time when people are actually leaving on Garda Síochána. Once they've hit 5 year service, they seem to be leaving to move into other occupations, other jobs, other careers. So we would say if you had the introduction of a long service increment for members, it might encourage them to hang on, knowing that that little pay increase is coming further down the line.
So for you, the sole reason you think that more people aren't attracted or aren't interested in joining the job, it's solely about pay, is it, Tara?
We think it's about pay. We think it's very much about pensions. I mean, if you look at it, anybody that came into it on Garda Síochána after 2013, they're looking at a pension of about €10,000 a year after completing 30 years service on Garda Síochána. So, you know, somebody like me that came in post 95, I can look forward to a fairly lucrative pension when I retire. But anyone who came in after 2013, and these are predominantly the people who are actually resigning, they will have to look at alternative employment. They'll have to look at putting serious savings away just so that they can enjoy some sort of a decent life after they've actually put in 30 years of service to an Garda Síochána. So the pension is an issue, and I know that's across all public sector.
It's an issue, I can tell you, for many in the private sector as well.
But look, the difficulty we have is we can't get people in. I mean, the government talk about 6,500 people who applied to join an Garda Síochána in the latest recruitment campaign. I think that's a bit of a you know, it's not exactly true. That's 6,500 people who expressed an interest. They may have clicked on the link, but they may not have applied. But to think that only, you know, such a small percentage of those people will actually get through to the Garda College, that's very alarming. And it's very concerning for us that year on, and certainly since I took up my role in the GRA in late 2022, the government have continuously failed to meet their recruitment targets.
Will you stay with me, Tara, for a few moments? Because I would just love to chat to people today, whether you are a member of the Guards, if you want to get in touch with us by WhatsApp. I know typically they don't like to come on and join us here for a chat on the radio, but 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Maybe you're somebody who was a guard and you've left. We'd love to know why. Or if you're in a different occupation and maybe you're one of the 6,000 that Tara mentioned that might have clicked on the link to just inquire about what that job might entail, we'd love to hear from you. It's 1800 453 106 is the number. Dave is on the line. Dave, did you ever think about joining the Guards?
I wouldn't be able for it, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I'm very much the kind of person that I want to come in, do my work, leave at 5 o'clock, and not think about my job. You know, where a guard, like being a guard, is very much a vocation. You know, you're probably never really off the clock, so to speak. So, no, I wouldn't have the head for it myself. I wouldn't, you know. And I say fair play to anybody who wants to do it. I'd be honest, my jaw's on the floor after hearing those figures, though. Like, 10 grand for a pension. That's disgraceful.
Just for the new recruits.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you, Dave. Yeah, you can hear me all right.
Sorry,
yeah.
No, but it is. It's that, like, I mean, they're not given the respect that, you know, that they should get. Because, I mean, like, you know, you'll meet people who say, oh, the guards are this, the guards are that. I've had some absolutely wonderful experiences with guards. And one that sticks out in my mind is during COVID, we had a bereavement. And it was the height of the lockdowns. And I rang my local guard station just to say, you know, like, is it okay for family to come down and attend the funeral, blah, 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 blah. The local sergeant, he said, of course it is. He said, I'll tell you why. He goes, this is my personal phone number. When your family are coming down, if they meet a checkpoint or anything like that, you get them to pass on my phone number to whatever the guards are ringing, and we'll sort you out. He said, if you want us to come out and stop traffic while you're going to the church or whatever, if you need flowers picked up, just give me a call anytime, day or night. You know what I mean? The guy went above and beyond. And I've met a lot of my local guards, and they're lovely people. They're human beings, just like the rest of them.
Yeah.
You know? And like, someone might say, oh, well, I know a guard sergeant salary is 37,000 euros or whatever, but they can get overtime. You shouldn't have to work, like, all the ungodly hours just to make a livable wage. I mean, I make more than a guard, and I'm finding it hard to survive at the moment. Like, a starting salary for a guard, in my eyes, should be about 50 or 60,000.
Right.
Because you can hear the state, like, they say, we're getting Sláinte Care off the ground, and there're going to be four regional managers, and we haven't even started yet, but their salaries are 250,000 euros a year. But yet we can't say to the people that, like, may walk out the front door in the morning time and not come home in the evening time.
So you think they should be paid more? Okay. And you think that might attract more people into the profession, David, was higher salaries?
But I have friends who work in the prison service, and they make a hell of a lot more money than the guard. And they say it's easy because, like, people don't realize as well. Like, if you're a guard, you might have come to a scene of an accident and seen some really horrific stuff.
Yeah,
you know, like,
oh, there's no question.
The course,
it's a hard job. You know, it's
like throughout the course of a guard's career, they might see stuff that will stay with them for the rest of their lives. And we can't, like, we're always hearing that we're such a wealthy country. We can't say to the people that we depend on to keep law and order, or who may have to knock on a family's house in the middle of the night and tell them, sorry, your loved one passed away from an accident or something like that. We're saying, oh, we thank you so much for your service or for doing this or for doing that. Any chance of a pay rise? Oh, Jay said, sorry, we don't have the money.
Shelley's with us too, Dave. Shelley, am I right in thinking you've family in the Navy?
Hi, Andrea. Yes. So I have a husband who served 32 years and my son is currently in his 13th.
And your son is currently serving in with the Navy, he is.
Correct, both of them did. And I heard Tara speak, and as you know, we created WPDF, the Wives and Partners of the Defence Forces, and everything that Tara said in 2017, that's exactly where we were. Obviously, our family members and the members of the Defence Forces are legally bound by contract, not allowed to publicly speak about any situation, living conditions, pay, they're not allowed. So hence why the wives and partners stood up and we made it public. And Tara's on the money in that when you have a person who wants to, feels the calling, and that is Dave again, it's a vocation, it's a calling, it's like nursing. Not everybody could ever look at a patient and be able to mind them. It's the same in the military, it's the same in the Defence Forces, the same in the Gardaí. I tend to put them all together. And when we started our campaign, Thank You for Your Service, we also included the Gardaí. We felt that very strongly. But I think when I was wrong earlier and asked about this, aside from everything that Tara has mentioned, which are all extremely valid and very difficult living conditions, we're also at a generational cycle. And this is something we found ourselves. So you had, my husband's in his 50s, serving your country was something that a lot did and aspired to do. And they found it a solid job, but they also enjoyed and had a level of respect while doing so.
You think that's changed, has it?
Well, we are seeing a change. In respect, but in our generation, respect was given until it was treated as such and you took it back because it wasn't deserved. Mm. Nowadays, it's why do you deserve my respect? You haven't earned it. Both possibly valid. It's a different viewpoint. But the fact is there isn't a level of respect for serving your country. Dave had it, and it's lovely to hear. It's lovely to hear because it's actually in the minority. So you have a lot going on at the moment, be it antisocial behaviour, lack of respect. We need more Gardaí on the ground. But then you flip it and the Gardaí that are low in numbers, that are trying to cover and do double shifts, that are literally trying to cast a net across larger and larger and larger areas, are finding the work is double and triple and a lot harder, a lot more dangerous. And their wage and their conditions, be it their Garda stations, be it their wage packet, whatever it is, their pension, doesn't justify the work conditions they're going through with the behaviour that they're having to see all day, every day. So it's a cycle that needs to be broken.
There's an interesting text here. It says, I would be interested in joining the Guards. I currently work as a Garda staff member, but my issue is that I'm now in my 40s. I have kids. I live in Dublin. Having to go to Templemore for 12 weeks at a time is the real problem. What they actually should have is a Garda college in Dublin. Like, would that change things, Tara, at all in your view?
We don't really think so. I mean, there was a very definitive decision made a number of years ago as to why the Garda college was where it is. And I mean, anyone who's been in Templemore will tell you it's in the middle of nowhere. And I suppose the reason behind that was no distractions. I think a Garda college in Dublin, it becomes like any other college and there are distractions. And I suppose the work of an Garda Síochána, that's the reason why the Garda college is in Templemore. Look, I know several political parties have suggested another Garda college, two Garda colleges. You could have 10 Garda colleges. Mm. The point of the matter is we can't build the one that was...
Well, that's fair. So that is a fair point. And that's what we want to try to find out why that is. I just want to clarify something. A guard has got in touch to say, I want to remain anonymous. Dave, your caller Dave said the pension is disgraceful, which it is. You mentioned, Andrea, that for new recruits post 2013, that the pension was disgraceful post 2013. The 10,000 you mentioned, Tara, as the pension, that's for people who've joined after 2013, isn't that right?
Yes. So anyone who comes in after 2013 doesn't have an accelerated payment system the way I have. So my last 10 years count for 20. So I make double payments in those in 10 years and reap the benefits then when I retire after 30
and what,
years.
And what this guard is saying is that the majority, this guard makes the point that they feel the majority of the members are those recruits that are now post 2013. So I suppose those are that are affected. This listener says, I'm 36 years of age. I have a family. We're renting. I'm hoping I can get working family payment while in the Garda College on €354 allowance. Currently training, doing 5 kilometre park runs and improving general fitness. So ask somebody listening that would like to join. Sten is with us on the line. Sten, you were part of you were a member of the police in Canada. Is that right? Canadian police?
Correct, yeah. I was in Vancouver.
You were in Vancouver, okay. And what do you think the guards could learn, if they need to learn anything, from other forces abroad?
They learn loads. They're really, really bad. I mean, their salaries are a joke. So if you look at it from, if you go into the academy in Canada, your starting salary is 55,000 as a cadet, rising to about 80,000-85,000 in 4 years. That's Euro. So the money is good. Now, what they usually do
is...
It's
a big jump.
You have what's called the Justice Institute of BC, which is a private college where you can go in and join to become a police officer or a firefighter, any kind of first responder, okay? You do your two-year course there, and then you can apply to VPD or you can apply to Delta, any police force. And the way it works over there, you've got municipalities. So you have, let's say, like Rathfarnham Garda Station, Terenure Garda Station. You apply independently to each one of them. They're a separate municipality. But when you train in the actual academy, you do an awful lot of hand-to-hand combat. You do, obviously, firearms training, the whole lot. And as it's mandatory that when you apply for VPD, you're giving a questionnaire where they ask you, I think it's 150 questions. And they're very, very kind of, let's say, private questions about your behaviour. Do you look at, say, porn and child stuff, yada, yada. And then when you get brought into the police, in one of your interviews, you get a polygraph based on your answers from the original question. Okay? And if you lie, well, they go down further, but then they will throw you out and you can't apply for 3 years. That's the start of it, right? The training itself is very physical. And every 2 years, you go back and you have to train again. And then every month, you have to do 2 hours of judo training, mandatory in the academy, in order to keep your skills up. Now, if you go and you look at the men and women in VPD, Vancouver PD, they're very fit looking. They all do martial arts. They've all got college degrees. The new generation with all psychology degrees. Now, I know a lot of Irish guys and women who joined Vancouver PD when I was there when I was leaving. It's guys from Pierce Street and Irishtown Garda Station. And they were held in very, very high esteem by the people in Vancouver PD because they had a high degree of common sense, which is what the Canadian people of Vancouver PD didn't have. Very educated, but common sense was very thin on the ground. So they're very well respected. And what happened was they flourished in Vancouver PD because you were given the tools and the skills and the training to enhance and become a great police officer. Now you go and you look at the training in Templemore, it's like a parody. It's like a joke. You see guys dressed up in pads coming at them and a guy in tracksuit bottoms with a bat and trying to hit him. That is complete waffle. You need to be able to take that guy to the ground, right? My own wife was in Vancouver PD 20 years. I've seen her take out guys 6'1", 6'2" to the ground, handcuffed them, because she was shown how to do it. And she's 5'5", 5'6", she's small. So the height restriction of that was irrelevant because they were all given the skills to deal with all different type of individuals when they had to arrest them. And it was the equipment we had, the gear we had, the whole infrastructure was far superior than it is here,
Do you think, Tara, like if we were to bring in those changes, aside from the obvious salary increment there that that Sten mentioned, would that make the job more appealing to people here?
Well, unfortunately, Andrea, in the last couple of years, Garda authorities have made the decision to continuously dilute the standards down in the Garda College. So they have reduced the fitness requirements. They have reduced the fitness tests that happen once you leave the Garda College. So they've continuously reduced the standards over and over again in order to encourage more people to join. So the exact opposite is actually happening here to what your caller there is describing. Everything is being diluted over and over again to encourage people so that people are not failing fitness tests, so that people are not failing aptitude tests. So it's, the standards are being dropped all the time in order to get more people in. Certainly when I joined, you had to be a certain height and different things like that. Now, I know that has been deemed to be discriminatory, but certainly from a fitness level point of view, and we would have and from time to time actually come out publicly and said that we don't agree with the fitness standards being continuously diluted, but they have been in order to get more people in. So more and more we're seeing, you know, less, the standards are dropping all the time, and we would have a serious concern about that. But it doesn't matter that they're dropping the standards, they still can't get people to come in. So I'm not sure what the next step is if dropping the standards is not working.
Liam, you want to make a quick point on this. You're formerly a prison officer, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. Well, I'd agree with a lot of the former speakers there. I think the pay and conditions are a big thing, and the pensions, it's a terrible figure. The other thing I'd say is the access to housing in the big cities for the guys should be ring-fenced so they can actually live and afford to live on the money that they have, but the money should go up. And also, as your other caller, the Canadian policeman,
Stan,
even when they're established good guards here, they're lured away to Australia, Canada, New Zealand and the likes of those places. So, you know, and the training should be of the highest quality. Like, we're a fourth world country, you know, and the support for them. So that's not there, as Tara has said. So, absolutely. Pay is a big thing. There's not too many people who step outside the door in the morning and, you know, they may not come back that night. How many guards got shot dead over the last couple of years? That doesn't happen to people in high-powered jobs, you know, in the private sector. So it's a unique job. And they should be paid accordingly.
Yeah, but there's absolutely an associated risk with it. So you think there's some sort of danger money built into it?
That doesn't even say it, because you don't know what you know. You could come up against the most innocuous situation.
Yeah.
And I think it happened to the guard and me a couple of years ago, and he was shot dead. I mean, it's crazy what the risks are. So,
no, there's no question about that. It's there's an even, as you say, risk sort of understates it, and that is a fair point. Statement here from the guards about this. Commissioners on public record that Angartha Síochána not only needs to reach 15,000 members, but needs to grow to at least 18,000. The 2024 recruitment campaign was the first campaign where applicants up to the age of 49 could apply, and resulted in significant uplift in applications, with nearly 6,400 being received, 36% of those being in the older age cohort. In the October 2024 training allowance for recruit Gardaí, that increased to €354. Tara, just a final point on that. You had an issue with that 6,500 application figure.
Well, we would see that there are expressions of interest. I mean, look, I'm one of them. I clicked on that link. So, I mean, I obviously didn't apply to join the Guards because I already am a Guard. So, look, it's irrelevant, we would think, how many people applied. If 6,500 people have applied, we still are going to struggle to get 650 people into the Garda College this year. So we are asking, what is the breakdown? What is the problem? If you have 6,500 applicants, why is that not translating into numbers actually going into the Garda College? What is happening to those 6,500 that only 650 will actually go into the Garda College this year?
087-1400-106 is the WhatsApp number. Jack in Terenure says, I find it hard to believe that the Guards' pension after 30 years is €10,000 per year. I'd like to see further confirmation of that, according to Jack. Another listener says, if the Guards think the pension is bad, you should look at the Defence Forces. Pittance. Marion Cork makes the point, as a citizen that sees and hears about what the Guards put up with every day, I feel strongly that they should be paid far more than they currently are. No young people joining the Guards. We have to change the conditions. Another listener says, I can't listen to the Garda recruitment officer. I met a guard at my daughter's hockey club talking to me about the second home they plan to buy within 5 years by the beach. Has 36 days annual leave and a 4 day on, 4 day off roster. Said gets to spend most of their summer in the mobile home in West Clare. It's an idyllic summer, was his quote unquote. I'm in the private sector and lucky to get 2 continuous weeks. Somebody pass me the small violin. Listening to the Guards looking for more money, says this listener. Keep your thoughts coming in. People very divided about this today. Why aren't more people joining the Guards? You can email us lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.